What's up, everybody, and welcome back to Fireside Giants. I'm your host, Anthony Rivardo, joined by my co-host, Alex Wilson. And the New York Giants, we're here in the thick of draft season, and our team is having some of those final 30 visits, taking a look at those prospects and really dialing it in, narrowing down who they're most interested in today. We read a couple reports about some new players that they're bringing in this final week leading up to the draft for these 30 visits, an offensive tackle and a cornerback, both of which interesting prospects and not really first round prospects, maybe day two, maybe day three, but some interesting guys nonetheless that we do want to go ahead and discuss, and also just kind of update you on some of the other notable names who the Giants have already had in for 30 visits and are anticipating to have in for visits in the next week or so, as we are finally only 10 days away from the NFL draft, which I am just so pumped for. And make sure you guys are sub to the channel and tune in on draft night live stream. It's going to be really special. It's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to be live reacting. I can't wait for that. But let's go ahead and dive into these prospects. Before we do so, make sure to leave a like if you enjoy this episode. Subscribe to the channel if you're new. Ring the bell so you don't miss an episode and comment your thoughts down below in the comment section. If you're listening to Apple or Spotify, please make sure to leave us a 5-star review and go ahead and follow us on all of our social media channels at Fireside Giants. Without further ado, Alex, how are you doing today, my friend? And what are your thoughts on the Giants' top 30 visits that they're having this week?
I'm doing great, man. And look, there's a lot to discuss. There's a lot to break down. The draft is coming up really quickly. We're going to get all of our answers very soon on what the Giants are going to do. A lot of people, honestly, everyone seems like split. Everyone has their own opinion right now of what the Giants, it's not a consensus. Like, yeah, just take Kayvon Thibodeau if he's there. It's like, well, you trade up, you trade down, you stay, you get a receiver. Everyone's all over the place. I love it. This is what the draft is about. Super excited to see how it unfolds. And the Giants are low-key making some interesting tells about some later round guys or even second round guys. We're going to talk about in a couple minutes here. Some prospects that really have some interesting potential. One of them, an offensive lineman who's coming off an ACL tear in 2022, bounced back, looked really good, and you know his stock dropped because of it, but he's versatile, and maybe the Giants want to take a chance on that. Maybe the Giants see him as an option here that could be a nice little value grab at a later pick. And you know, another cornerback from Colorado State, kind of like a Trey Hawkins-esque freak athlete, developmental traits, really good tackler. We're going to break down some of these guys, Anthony. So, you know, let's kick it off with the tackle. You wrote an article this morning about this versatile guy. You know, what do you know about him? Do you think the Giants would be a good fit? I think some people say he was a second-round projected pick, so the Giants may have to spend the 47th pick on that. But do you think this would be a good selection for the Giants, who obviously are trying to make sure that 2023 does not repeat itself and the offensive line is much better?
Yeah, so with Jordan Morgan out of Arizona, interesting tackle prospect, one of the best tackles in this draft class in that second tier, that is, has some injury history, but bounced back from it, continued to play at a really high level as if he was never injured before, which is something you have to commend. A guy who's been mentioned a lot as a potential combo player, can play both tackle and guard, a little bit undersized, but where he might lack in size, he more than makes up for with strength, power, and agility. And the agility is what makes him a good fit, potentially, in at guard. So the Giants, if they were to draft Jordan Morgan, could get a solution long-term to one of their tackle spots and also provide depth on the guard position. Maybe they view him as a guard at the next level. That's totally possible. And maybe he's a guard who could swing out to tackle if you have any injuries there. So versatility, we've talked about this plenty of times before. Always important to have versatility on the offensive line, especially when you consider how frequently offensive linemen get injured and how often that unit just moves around and you need to plug and play in new positions. Having guys that can do that, like Justin Pugh last year. Justin Pugh maybe didn't play at the highest level, but at least he was able to play more than one position for the Giants. Played some tackle, played some guard, moved from the left side to the right side, and also Josh Azidu did that as well. The Giants really do value having versatility on the offensive line so that you can plug and play these guys if you run into any emergency situations. So Jordan Morgan, a really good left tackle who only let up, I think, 14 pressures and 2 sacks last year. 6'5", 311 pounds, though. So a little bit shorter, a little bit smaller of the arm length. Maybe not the best ideal fit for tackle at the next level. But to be fair, we've seen guys at this size succeed, and we've said things like Evan Neal was built in a lab to play offensive tackle. Hasn't always panned out. Just because these guys are 6'8" and look born to play tackle doesn't necessarily mean they are the best tackle. So a guy like Jordan Morgan, who may be a little bit undersized, probably could play tackle quite well at the next level. Only thing, he was a left tackle for Arizona, and we know that the Giants don't need a left tackle. They've got Andrew Thomas. They could use maybe some help at right tackle long term, but again, also long term at guard. Yes, they did bring in John Runyon. Yes, they have Illuminor, who maybe will play guard. Maybe Neal plays guard. Maybe Stinney plays guard. There are some names in there, but no clear-cut starter just yet on the Giants offensive line at either of those guard spots. Maybe Jordan Morgan, they view him as a day one starter at guard. Maybe they think because of his size, maybe a little bit limited at tackle at the next level, instant impact at the guard position. You could definitely make the case. He's got a lot of agility in his lower half, and he's a really good pass protector. And I think that he really could be a solid left guard in the NFL. But one of the things you mentioned, Alex, a day two pick, yes, maybe a target with the number 47 overall pick. However, there are some teams, I think, based on what I've read, that view him as a first-round pick. And there is a chance that he goes at the back end of the first round. So more than likely, if Jordan Morgan does fall into the second round, not with the 47th overall pick, but with a trade up higher into that round, the Giants would need to do that in order to take Jordan Morgan. And that's kind of what I want to ask you, Alex. We have talked a lot about the offensive line. We've talked about how many resources they've allocated, how many should they continue to allocate to the O-line. How would you feel if the Giants traded up in the second round to land what's probably a first-round talent at guard or at tackle? First-round tackle in terms of talent, but falls into the second round due to an injury history is really what's held back Jordan Morgan and caused his draft stock to make him a day two pick. But even still, sacrificing additional assets to move up in the draft, you know, losing on some future draft picks. Do you feel like that's something you could get behind for an offensive lineman who is a great talent, or are you just kind of standing still on your take where the Giants shouldn't continue to sacrifice assets? You know, this isn't our first round pick, but when you add in the fact that they're going to be moving up in the second round and giving up extra capital, you are giving up a lot for another offensive lineman and investing more into the unit. How do you feel about that? Do you even think that this is something the Giants should entertain, or just hope that he falls to 47 if they want to draft him?
You know, it's a good question. I guess it really depends on what they do in the first round. You know, if we're going to trade up, it's got to be for a guy that's going to make an instant impact. You know what I mean? If you're going to go from 47 to, let's say, like, I don't know, 33 or 34, like top end of the second round, because like a guy like Morgan, he's not going to start immediately, most likely, because you got Jermaine Illuminor, you still got Evan Neal and Andrew Thomas. So like, where are you really going to put him? He's kind of like the developmental guy, probably more so than that. Not so developmental in terms of like he's a sixth round pick, but more so like you're developing him to be a starter, you know, at least at some point soon. And I think that they don't really have they have too many mouths to feed. You know what I mean? Now they have just more bodies. They have, you know, Runyon, obviously interior guy, but Illuminor, Neal and Andrew Thomas, I just don't see where he wins that job. But with that being said, if the Giants say, you know what, we don't like any of the quarterbacks in the second round, we took a receiver in the first round, let's take the best player on our board. And if we think that we can get a value grab if we move up a couple spots to get him, you know, why not? Like maybe you're like, wow, like this guy could actually be a legitimate starter. You know, maybe you just have an asset to trade if you want to, like, you know what, we like this guy a lot, he's gonna be better than Evan Neal, he's already showing it early on, you could trade Evan Neal to another team that's looking for a guy with upside. You know, I'm just spitting out like theoreticals, but at the end of the day, the Giants may decide, let's just go BPA, you know, let's go BPA whatever we're at, and if he's there at 47, he could be a really great player, you just take him, because look, our offensive line has been horrible for many years. Putting another good player on that line, you know, doesn't seem like a bad idea to me. Adding more competition, adding more talent. You can never have enough talent at offensive line, especially if your quarterback is one injury away from having to be guaranteed his 2025 salary. I think it's probably imperative you have more talent in the trenches to protect him. So, you know, especially if Andrew Thomas were to go down, at least you have a guy that's, you know, traditionally left tackle. So, you know, there's ideas here, there's concepts, different ideas that you could float and justify taking a guy like Morgan. But I think the Giants probably go in a different direction, if we're being honest, depending on where they go in the first round. I don't think they are looking to allocate more resources to offensive tackle. In fact, I could see them more so looking at a guard. I could see them more so looking at cornerback. Like, those positions kind of stand out more to me than the tackle position does at this point, because I really do like Jermaine Illuminor. I think he's going to be starting for us next year at right tackle. He was really solid in Carmen Brasillo's scheme with the Raiders, and I think that he, you know, is a perfect fit for what we need. But we'll see. Maybe Evan Neal rises to the occasion, wins that job outright, and he reaches the potential, which would be the best-case scenario. But, yeah, I think that kind of, like, is my roundabout answer to that question. Is it really depends what we do in the first round. Maybe they go BPA and they take Morgan, but at this point, I think we have other needs that are more pressing.
I'd agree with you, and I'll say I'm against trading up for Jordan Morgan. If he happens to fall all the way to 47 into the Giants' lap, okay, I think they can consider it because he probably does end up being a day one upgrade for you at guard if you want to start him there, if not definitely a long-term solution. However, trading up for him, we've talked a lot about the assets that the Giants have invested into the offensive line. First-round pick here, third-round pick there, another first here, right? A lot into this offensive line. If you trade up, you're then sacrificing a second, maybe an additional fourth and future fifth, like a lot of assets for one player on the offensive line who, yeah, is a great player and could be a solid upgrade for the Giants. However, how many assets can you keep throwing into one position when you've got so many positions of need on this roster if you're the New York Giants? I mean, you can bring up cornerback, which is what we're going to go ahead and discuss next as one of the positions of needs, receiver, quarterback, all these different things that we've talked about. But let's go ahead and talk about this cornerback, Alex. This is an interesting one for me because this isn't the New York Giants necessarily going ahead and bringing in one of the top players, and I think that's an important time to distinguish. These visits often get called top 30 visits, but they're actually classified as 30 visits because it's not on top guys. It's just any 30 prospects that the teams like they can bring in for these visits. And this is definitely not a top 30 player right here. This is a day three pick. His name is Chigozie Anuzium, I believe. Correct me if I'm wrong down below, but I believe that's how you pronounce it. Chigozie Anuzium. Fast guy, 4.39 second 40-yard dash out of Colorado State. Unknown player. Not really a whole lot of buzz about him. Again, a day three pick. I just want to more so have a conversation, Alex, on how you feel about prospects who are supposed to go day three being brought in for these 30 visits. Do you think that's good practice? Do you think that the Giants should be focusing on more of those top guys? You know, kind of just tell me how you feel about that. And also, what are your thoughts on Chigozie Anuzium?
Anuzium is a really interesting player. And, you know, guys, if you're thinking about the team right now in the roster we do have in the cornerback room, you got Cordell Flott and, you know, have Trey Hawkins, you got Dante Banks, Nick McCloud. Aside from Banks, we don't necessarily know what the decision here is at CB2, right? Now, I'm not going to sit here and tell you Anuzium is a starting level cornerback because he's not right now. But I will say this, the guy's got blazing speed, 4.39 40-yard dash at his pro day. He was at the Shrine Bowl, and Mike Kafka was, coaching that team, and he probably got some eyes on Anuzium, and then you also have the facet that they're bringing him for a top 30 visit, and, you know, I kind of think that we've seen the tea leaves before. We've read the tea leaves, and the Giants, that when they look at guys like this, and they bring them in for top 30 visits, they tend to draft them, you know what I mean? Guys just like this. Anuzium is going to be a late-round draft pick. He comes from Colorado State, a smaller school, just like Trey Hawkins from Old Dominion. You know, you're seeing these guys, smaller schools, you know, not that much attention drawn to them, really good physical makeup. I mean, he's got really solid size. And I think that, you know, you're looking at a player that could develop into something, 6'1", 200 pounds. What I like the most about Anuzium, and it's kind of the opposite of Trey Hawkins if you watched last year at all, this guy's a really good tackler in the run game. 5.2% missed tackle rate, 44 tackles for a cornerback. That is absolutely stellar. So you're looking at a guy that he can support you in the run game, play good man coverage. He just needs more time to develop. You know, a young guy, you know, has the athletic traits. He's a smart player. He can stick in coverage. He just has to get more experience, you know, needs to see those routes, needs to go up against some better talent. You know, trial by fire, training camp would kick his butt, that's for sure. But I think that right now you need to go after guys that have a good subset of standard. And I think that, you know, listen to what Jane Bowen just said yesterday. He wants to be able to stop the run first and foremost. You know, be physical. You know, take the running game away from opposing offenses. And he can help you do that, Anuzium specifically. He's really good in the run. So, like, if you want cornerbacks who, at the very least, they're highly proficient in one thing, you know, highly proficient against the run, develop their coverage technique, develop their ability to recognize, you know, whether it be pre-snap routes, whatever it is. You know, just have that intelligence to have foresight about what an opposing team is trying to do, going in motion, you know, knowing the playbook, knowing the film, but being good in the run game, a good tackler, sound fundamentals, that goes a long way. The Giants traditionally have been a bad tackling team over the last couple years at a couple of different positions. So, I mean, how many times, like, remember Font for, like, breaking like six tackles against us down the side? You know, we've seen it 100 times against the 49ers, Deebo Samuel. He's known for it, but we still couldn't tackle the guy with seven defenders on top of him. You know what I mean? Like, this is a problem for us. So getting guys with the very least have developmental traits to be solid in coverage, but already good at run defense and tackling, It seems like a good investment to me as a late round grab to develop alongside. And just to, you know, eventually the Giants have to get some value from their late round picks. It's been so many years. I mean, aside from like Darius Slayton, you know, we haven't really gotten much value from other guys in the fifth, sixth, and seventh rounds. At least good production. Like, Tae Crowder was bad. Like, he was the last pick in the draft, and he just wasn't a good player. Maybe had a couple of good opportunities, a couple of good games, but altogether not great. I don't even think he's playing anymore as a primary starter. So, you know, you look at what the Giants have. They have a couple of late round picks. Got to hit on one of these guys at some point. Got to get some value. Got to get some starting value at some point from one of these players. Anuzium has a couple of good traits, and I think that you can develop him into a potential, at least competitor. I'm not going to say he's going to be a starter, but at least develop him into somebody who can compete for a starting job down the road. Is he going to be an instant CB2? No. I'm actually curious to see what the Giants do at CB2 this upcoming season, because, you know, maybe they wait for teams to cut some guys. Maybe they look at someone in the free agency. Maybe they find somebody in the second round. We'll see. But finding some nice developmental pieces. Maybe they think Anuzium could be a good special teams contributor in the meantime with that speed, that tackling. You know, sounds like a perfect gunner to me. So, you know, that's something that you could see, you know, the value early on if it's not starting or playing defensive snaps, helping out on special teams.
Yeah, and I think that's a great call out, kind of mentioning that these players might be looked at as having a lot of special teams value, and that's why they're being brought in for visits or being scouted so heavily. You know, having a guy who's a defensive back could maybe provide you depth in that regard, maybe hopefully develops into a starter on the outside at CB2. That's what the Giants are hoping for. But if not, at least you know he's got some speed, some tackling ability, some of those athletic traits that would definitely translate to special teams and make him a solid depth player and get him on the field early in that role. So that's a really good call out there, Alex. And as we kind of discuss some of these other top 30 visits before we wrap up here, it is interesting that the majority of them seem to be pretty early on prospects. Guys like Drake May, J.J. McCarthy, Marvin Harrison Jr., Malik Nabers, like all these guys are going to go in the top 10. But when you really dig through this list of 30 visits that the Giants have had, you've also got guys like Ben Sinnott out of Kansas State, tight end that I know you like, Alex. Cooper Beebe, also out of Kansas State, an offensive guard. You have other guys. Chow Smith-Wade should probably be a third, fourth-round prospect, cornerback out of Washington State. Mason Smith, defensive tackle at LSU, third-day guy. So there's a pretty, I would say, varied list of prospects here, diverse list of prospects in terms of where they're going to be drafted and how they're ranked. And I think that's important that the Giants are casting a wide net as they search for this talent. Because as I said earlier, there are a lot of needs on this team, and you can't just hit on your early draft picks in order to build a football team. You could argue that's all that Dave Gettleman really did when he was here as GM. He hit on a few first and second round picks. Xavier McKinney was a great one in the second round. Dexter Lawrence, a great one in the first round. Not many in the fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh rounds. Not many at all. And that ultimately is why the Giants roster is so thin at so many positions of need right now. So I do think it's important to note that their 30 visits are being spread throughout all seven rounds, and they are targeting guys on days 1, 2, and 3 and bringing them in for visits. And I think that's a positive takeaway that you can have from their 30 visits. But Alex, how are you feeling about that? Wednesday is the cutoff for 30 visits, just as an FYI. They've only got a couple more days to get these guys in, but I think they've brought in about 24-ish. So a few more guys that they might still bring in over these next few days should be interesting.
It should be interesting. Look, there's just more opportunities for the team to get some more guys in here to get private workouts, get to know their character. The Giants need dogs, man. Like, that's the straight up end of it. That's the period at the end of that statement. The Giants need dogs. You know, too much laziness over the years, and I think we have a couple dogs, man. Dexter Lawrence, dog. Brian Burns, dog. Deontay Banks, dog. We need personality, and I think we're starting to get back to having some of those guys. With that being said, we just need more offensive weapons who have character. Like, after a play, celebrating, getting hyped, creating momentum, game breakers. You know, as much as people like will reflect on OBJ's tenure with the Giants as a negative thing at times, that dude was a dog. He came in, and every single play, the guy could take it 99 yards to the house. We don't have anybody like that, and we haven't in a long time. Saquon Barkley, yeah, like he is capable of that, but our offensive line was never good enough to support that. You know what I mean? And our passing game was never good enough to support him being a game breaker all the time. He was always leaned on too heavy, and we need someone that's going to step in here and make moments happen, make plays, whether it be a Marvin Harrison, whether it be a Malik Nabers, a Romo Odunze, or a quarterback, a Jaden or a Drake May that can take risks, be a gunslinger, electric moments. We need personality. We need dogs. We need guys who are going to make things happen in clinical moments. If you're a Yankees fan, go watch Juan Soto. That's the type of player the Giants need. They need a freaking generational talent. And ultimately, they have a chance to get one at 6 overall this year, whether it be one of those top receivers or moving up to get a franchise quarterback with elite upside. And God knows, Brian Daboll's one of the only coaches you want in this league, one of the best when it comes to developing young quarterback talent. If the Giants have conviction and they trust that one of these quarterbacks can be an elite talent, one of the top in football, they got to give Brian Daboll a chance to develop him and get him to where he needs to go. If worst case scenario unfolds, you end up with one of the best receiver prospects in a draft class that's considered one of the best in the last decade, to be quite honest with you. So yeah, the next couple of days of top 30 visits are going to be imperative. It's going to be a lot more of low-key players. But you mentioned before Cooper Beebe, really solid player. There's some really low-key good receiving tight ends in this draft class. Keeper, what was the guy's name before that you mentioned? I forget what his name was. Do you remember?
Oh, Ben Sinnott, tight end, Kansas
State. Ben Sinnott, really solid player. I watched him. I wrote about him a couple days ago. Super good player. Like, great size, great frame. He can play all over the formation. Sick receiver, sick hands, really good. If you watch his size, you're going to be like, how does he run like that? It's impressive. If Darren Waller retires, not a bad option in the mid rounds if you want to go and get a pass catching first tight end to complement Daniel Bellinger. I would love for the Giants to go in that direction. Honestly, even if Waller stays, I would draft a tight end like that because I think we could use it. And he's probably gone after this season anyway. I think they're going to wait and see. And honestly, I hope Waller decides before the draft because that'll be a big piece of information to know. They said today, I know Brian Daboll said it's in-house decision, but Darren Waller staying and leaving impacts our draft strategy, whether it be drafting a tight end, allocation of money to sign a free agent corner. You know, there's so many different elements here that are play a part, but I think we need to know before the draft because that does impact our strategy. But yeah, there's some really good players. The Giants are doing their due diligence. I'm excited to see who they end up taking, but sometimes, and a lot of times actually, these later players, like the ones that we've discussed in this episode, the Giants target in the draft and it becomes reality. So we'll at least know who we're getting if they do go in that direction.
100% agreed. I'll kind of give my quick take before I wrap here, though, on the Darren Waller thing. I actually don't think that Darren Waller's decision should impact the Giants' draft plans at all. He is old, and even if he doesn't retire this offseason, you have to assume he's going to retire next offseason. And you don't draft for the right now, you draft for the future. So getting a guy in here that you think could be the starter next year or this year is actually the goal for most teams, and that's how good teams kind of operate. So the Giants should be drafting based on the idea that Darren Waller isn't here long-term regardless. So if they want to take a tight end, they should take one, whether Darren Waller says he's playing or says he's not playing. They should just go ahead and draft like as if he's not playing, basically. Or if they believe in Daniel Bellinger as the long-term starter and they weren't planning on drafting a tight end before Darren Waller chose to retire, then they shouldn't go ahead and draft one now just because he does plan on retiring, personally, is kind of my take on it. But it is kind of annoying that Darren Waller hasn't at least clarified to the media, that is, if he's going to play or not. Maybe the Giants know more information than we do, and maybe they know the truth here. But ultimately, I agree with you. I hope his decision is made and handed over to the Giants within the next 10 days so they can move accordingly in the draft, because you also have to keep in mind any trades that might occur. Maybe a tight end becomes available. Who knows? So it's definitely important stuff, but 10 days away, man. I can't wait. Super excited for the NFL draft. Like I said, guys, make sure you're tuned into the live stream. It's going to be such a blast. We have a lot of fun things planned for that day and for that live stream. And also, you got to stay tuned this weekend. 20K sub special is finally on the way. We are putting it in motion and recording it this week, and we can't wait to deliver that to you guys this upcoming weekend right ahead of the 2024 NFL draft. So make sure to leave a like if you enjoyed this episode. Subscribe to the channel if you're new. Ring the bell so you don't miss an episode. And comment your thoughts down below in the comment section. If you're listening to Apple or Spotify, please make sure to leave us a 5-star review. Go ahead and follow us on all of our social media channels at Fireside Giants. Without further ado, we'll catch you on the next one. Have a good one, and let's go Giants.
perfect.